Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being on with us today. We know that there's a big weekend coming up, the 4th of July, and things have changed a little bit with regards to fireworks displays. A lot of them have been canceled, but as we know, some people have been going it on their own, getting an early start, and purchasing fireworks. And we want to talk a little bit about fireworks safety and also an event that comes up annually that's been postponed, and we want to find out more about it and when it's going to occur. So we're here with the National Safety Council. Good evening. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
All right. Who do I have on?
You have Maureen Vogel. I'm a spokeswoman for the National Safety Council.
Hi, Maureen. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time out. How's it going?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking us to come on. It's going well, but we are concerned about people's safety over the holiday weekend, as we always are.
So, really, I mean, and like I said, some people just didn't wait for the holiday, unfortunately. There's been, a lot of noise complaints, and then just a couple of other things going on. Just people trying to blow off a little steam, but we want them to do it safely. So we want to talk about this weekend, especially because we know people are ramping up for the weekend. So how can people enjoy the 4th of July without going to the emergency room?
Yeah, we definitely, it's a great question. We definitely want people to enjoy the holiday. It is, one of our country's most important annual holidays, but we want everybody to be safe. And we know people feel cooped up and they really want to return to some semblance of normalcy. And we think that might be behind the increase in the number of people, setting off fireworks themselves this year. A lot of states
right.
and cities that are not holding their annual fireworks displays because of the pandemic. But really, fireworks are much better left to the professionals. They're going to put on a better show anyway, and the safety risks just far outweigh the rewards for people who want to try and do this on their own. So we're concerned about that. We want to make sure people are safe.
So just to put things in perspective so that people can really feel the gravity of the situation, how many people are usually injured or killed?
We generally see in 2018, which is the most recent data that we have, we see about 5 fatalities. The year prior to that, it was about 8. The injuries are really what trouble us the most. Thousands and thousands mm-hmm. of injuries, with an estimated rate of emergency department treated injuries at 2.8. for every 100,000 individuals. So very prevalent, the number of injuries related to fireworks. And, it's the calls, as you mentioned before, are just kind of skyrocketing, especially in cities where people are not really, they don't even really realize what they're hearing, that they're hearing a firework. And they're thinking, that they could be hearing something completely different, which is also setting off potential safety hazards within a safety hazard itself. So we're really hoping that people refrain from using these devices themselves.
So who's most likely to get hurt around fireworks? Is it the person that's launching them? Is it the first, some of the spectators? And what kind of injuries usually occur?
So we do see a lot of the injuries occurring to people who are around the area, spectators. We also see 36% of the injuries happening to children younger than 15 years old. And the most common things that we see, the most common injuries we see are burns, you know, a lot of burns, and even with things like sparklers, because those burn at about 2,000 degrees, which is well above, you know, the boiling point of water. So they're extremely hot. We also see injuries to the legs, to the fingers, the face, the ears, people standing too close to these devices when they're going off, or not knowing how to properly handle them. And so then once the firework is launched, it's launched in the direction that the person didn't intend or something. So bystanders are also at risk.
So what are the proper precautions for some of these explosives? And, you know, even the small, you know, kids' activities like the sparklers, you know, what should we do, what shouldn't we do, what are we looking at in terms of enjoying them and making sure that no one gets hurt?
Yes. So if you can't leave it to the professionals and you can't avoid the temptation of using them yourself, the council really does recommend that you first check your state law, because some states really do not allow fireworks to be used by amateurs, and you should not be buying them in another state and then bringing them back to your state if it's illegal to use them in your state. So that's the first thing. And the next thing is wear eye protection. If you're setting off an explosive, and remember that a firework is an explosive, you should have protection over your eyes. You should only ever use fireworks and sparklers in open areas, never around things that could catch fire, never by homes or pieces of furniture, that sort of thing. You want to make sure that whoever is using fireworks is completely sober and not under the influence of alcohol or drugs of any kind. And you never want to light fireworks inside. They are definitely an outside and exclusively outside activity.
Now, I don't know if you can answer this for me, but I wanted to ask about storage, too, because especially right now here in Central Florida, it is extremely, extremely hot right now. It's hotter than usual right now. And just wondering about, you know, storing them somewhere, you know, but prior to use. Are there any tips for that?
You know, the National Safety Council really looks to the American Pyrotechnics Association for that kind of guidance, but we would say to make sure that you check labels on all of your fireworks and store them properly. Fireworks should be coming to you with a label for safe storage.
Okay. And then now, what are some of the safety tips for the area where you're going to set off and display the fireworks? I mean, do you need to be around water? Do you need water? Do you need fire extinguishers? What can you tell me?
Yeah, fireworks should be soaked in water for a few hours before they're disposed. You want to make sure that they're completely out. You should never be putting off fireworks in crowded areas or in areas that are very close to homes or structures that, you know, could burn. And again, you never want to put them, light them inside. It's really helpful to have a bucket of water, a hose, or a fire extinguisher nearby so that you can fully extinguish fireworks that don't ignite or in case you have a fire. Multiple sources, including OSHA, recommend that you have a fire extinguisher close by. So that is really kind of a must. And then we're not necessarily familiar with tips about keeping the ground around you moist or wet if you're going to be doing a fireworks display, but we have heard that some organizations recommend that.
Okay. Because
you definitely don't
want to
be around. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say most of the ones I've gone to have been like on or near the water. So, but I know there are others that are not necessarily that way. And this was curious about that. So,
Yep.
So now I wanted to ask about differences now that we're in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. What are some recommendations for fireworks safety during this time?
Yeah, the National Safety Council really wants everybody to remember that we should still be physically distancing, social distancing, and crowds are really, they can become super spreaders for the disease. And so we want everybody to be very cautious and really be thoughtful if you're going to be headed into a large crowd. The guidance is fairly clear on large gatherings. And so that's something for folks to consider over the weekend. You know, I know fireworks displays are often also broadcast on television. So that's a very safe way to be able to watch fireworks and still enjoy them.
Right.
But certainly people are yearning for a return to normal, and fireworks on the 4th of July certainly represent normal times, but we want to make sure that people remember that, unfortunately, we're not quite in normal times yet, and there are some things that still pose great risks to our safety and health, and one of them is gathering in large crowds. The other is setting off fireworks on your own when you're not trained to do so.
Right. Now, we know that different locations have different rules and regulations regarding safety and the, you know, and a variety of things regarding fireworks. What kind of legal things should people be aware of, and where do you know where they could probably find out more in terms of what is and what isn't legal? Because I know that's one reason for me that I I used to have a friend that used to do the fireworks like around New Year's Eve or something like that. But I've always been reluctant because I'm like, I don't know the rules. And, you know, I mean, and you see all these fireworks displays and you're like, are they paying attention to the rules? Or am I getting myself in trouble? So what can you tell me?
Yeah, it's a great question. And people absolutely should be familiar with the laws and what your state does and does not allow. So the American Pyrotechnics Association has a database of state laws around firework use. And so their website is AmericanPyro.com. So you can go there and find all of the laws across the United States regarding fireworks. And then you can make sure also to check and see whether, you know, a neighboring state versus your state has legal permission to be using fireworks, and then make your decisions based on that.
Okay. So now I know that the National Safety Council, you have an event, I guess, annually, an NSC Congress and Expo, but you've had to, I guess, reschedule. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is, and then what are the plans for it from this point?
Yes, so the National Safety Council hosts a Congress and Expo each year. It is the world's largest annual gathering of safety professionals. So there are about 15,000 to 16,000 men and women from around the globe who gather to discuss the latest advancements in safety, and particularly as it relates to keeping our workplaces safer. The National Safety Council has been hosting Congress and Expo each year since 1912. 2020 will mark just the second time since ever, really. 2020 will mark just the second time since 1912 that there has not been a Congress and Expo. The other year was 1945, when we were coming off of World War II, and there were travel restrictions that remained in place. So we've rescheduled the 2020 event to the end of March in 2021, and we've moved the location from Indianapolis to Houston. And so we are very hopeful that by the end of March, people will be ready and able to gather safely in large crowds. But we've also made some plans to offer virtual aspects of the conference for those who either cannot attend in person or in the event that it is not yet safe to do so.
So if people had any other information that they wanted about the National Safety Council, can you give us some contact information or some social media information in terms of how we can find out more?
Yes. So we are on, the National Safety Council is on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And our website is nsc.org. And there you can find everything from fireworks safety tips to information about all of our all of our events and conferences.
Okay, great. Ms. Vogel, thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking the time today. And we look forward to the Congress next year. And thank you for the tips. And please get back in touch with us when the time comes for the Congress. We look forward to that.
Yeah, I definitely will. Thank you so much for having me. And please stay safe down there. I know virus cases are going up in Florida. So be safe.
Thank you. We will. And you do the same. Thanks.
Thank you.
That was Maureen Vogel with the National Safety Council. And when we come back, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about changes in your banking situation that you might want to be aware of. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us. And we want to thank Maureen Vogel again from the National Safety Council to give us a heads up on the fireworks for this weekend, how we can be safe. Now, our next guests are on because I saw something on their website told me that there were some changes that were going to occur. And it's probably not just them. And what I'm talking about is I'm a member of Addition Financial Credit Union, formerly known as CFE Credit Union, and they had said they had something that said starting on the 29th of this month that they would, and I may have it wrong, so that's why I got them here for clarification. They were not going to have tellers anymore. So, in the midst of COVID-19, I know there are a lot of changes that have probably been going on at our banking institutions. So I've asked Valerie Moses, she's a senior relationship manager and community engagement and partnerships person at Addition Financial, and Courtney, and I'm missing Courtney's last name, she's with us too from Addition Financial, and I wanted them, Courtney Friosi, please tell me if I got that wrong or right, but she's the associate manager of facilities, and we want to welcome them. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Excited to be
and
here.
Pronounce that beautifully.
Thank you, thank you. So, all right. I don't know where to begin on this one because, I mean, we've already seen a lot of changes anyway. First of all, you know, I don't go in the interior that much anyway unless I have a problem or something unusual. But still, the interiors are closed and receptive to people only by appointment. That was one of the things I saw. But then I saw this about no longer having tellers. So please tell me what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, Addition Financial has been taking some measures since around March when the virus started to hit Central Florida, just to ensure that our members are safe, that our community is safe, and of course that our team members are safe as well. So we closed down our teller services around mid-March. We still offer all of those services in the drive-through lines. And then any other service that you might need, people can either call in or we offer by appointment on our website. So the tellers are all still employed with the credit union, and they're still able to do the same transaction, but not currently in the branches.
Okay, so this made me curious because are there tellers that are losing their jobs? That's one of my questions that I had.
No, so that's one of the really great things at Addition Financial right now. We've managed to avoid any layoffs, furloughs. Everybody is still employed with the credit union. A lot of those tellers are assisting right now in the drive-through lines. Some are helping with heavier-than-usual call volume. And other departments as well have been helping with some departments having maybe more volume than others right now. For my department personally, being in community engagement, for example, we don't have as many community events obviously taking place right now. So our team members have been assisting our real estate department and business services through the PPP loans and things like that. So our employees are all still here with us. They're just serving in a slightly different capacity right now.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear about that because I was kind of concerned because I know there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, losing work for one reason or another right now. So that was good to know. Now, my other question is adjustments in hours. And also, I know there are some businesses, and I don't know if it's true for Addition, that are opening up at different times for seniors and whatnot. So I didn't know if that was going on as well, or is it just a strict time for everybody just by appointment, no matter who?
Currently, it's a strict time for everyone, but we did add to our hours. So we actually have permanent extended hours ever since the pandemic took place. We're now open an hour earlier than we used to be. And all of our branches are now open on Saturdays, where before it was not quite all of them open at that point. So we've extended our hours, but it's truly at this point by appointment.
Mm-hmm. But that's good because, I mean, especially on Saturdays, a lot of the changes that have occurred with a lot of businesses, you've seen a lot of businesses close early. So the fact that you've extended is very good for people that are trying to maneuver and readjust, you know, the times that they do business. So I know the Saturday hours especially are going to be a plus. Now, one of the things I've noticed, too, is that you seem to have modified the online transaction opportunities.
So they're able – so we've – I'm sorry, Courtney.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So I might be able to speak a little bit to this, and then Val, fill in anywhere that I miss. But we really, throughout this entire process, we wanted to make sure that we are – because of the encouragement for social distancing, that none of our – actual assets or resources are restricted. So we really have focused on enhancing the access online, enhancing access over the phone, making sure that everybody is able to access all of their accounts, everything that they need, either through appointment or through the drive-through. So any modification you've seen online has really been us encouraging people to use and really making easier everything that we've already had available, just making sure that, especially in this time, everybody is able to access their accounts and they know how, and making sure that everyone is aware that everything is equally secure now as it ever has been.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I actually found this out by accident because I was counting my transactions. I'm like, oh, I got to go and run to the credit union. And then I still, I think, ended up having a transaction I didn't count on. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then I realized, I'm like, that was a pleasant surprise. It just, you know, there were no problems and it went through and everything. So that's good. So what I want to ask is, is this something that just Addition is doing, or what types of regulations have come down for the banking institutions in general, any type of changes that we may see, not just with addition, but across the board?
You know, that's a really great question, and Val, I'm sure, can speak a little bit to the regulations, but I know we understand as a credit union and as a banking institution that we don't exist in a vacuum, and something that a lot of people may not assume is that we work very closely with a lot of other credit unions and other banking institutions to make sure that what we're offering is similar to what others are offering, and making sure that we are you know, anything that maybe we haven't thought of, or a process or a system that we haven't explored, we rely heavily on this whole network that we've created. And so anything that we're offering, we make sure that we vet it through our partners in the credit union community. So even though we may be competitors in general, we want to make sure that all of us are providing the highest level and the safest service. So as far as regulations go, I'll leave that maybe to Val to speak to, but I know that we just as a whole have communicated and come up with policies and procedures ourselves without any government requirement or anything, just to know that we're doing our best to take care of our members.
Yeah, a pattern I've really been seeing, I think, with a lot of the financial institutions, and I think us included, you know, looking for ways that we can help our members through, you know, such a difficult time. This is an unprecedented time in our history, and I don't know if any of us were expecting to be dealing with a pandemic this year. And so a lot of credit unions and banks are looking for ways to waive certain fees. We actually waived our fees for our Skip a Pay program. Up through July 1st. So we were offering several months where people could have the fees waived. They could also skip two payments in a 12-month rolling period. And we even automatically deferred due dates on loans and credit cards for a month just to give people that relief if they needed it. Now, they were certainly allowed to pay those bills if they wanted to, but we wanted to give them that opportunity, you know, if they were experiencing any kind of hardship. We wanted to give them a little bit of extra leeway. And so we do see that, I think, with a lot of financial institutions right now wanting to help their customers and their members as best as they can. From a regulation standpoint, I know that one regulation that did change, in Regulation D, it basically limits you to 6 transfers from your savings to your checking account per month electronically. So you could do as many as needed in a branch, but by federal regulation, you were limited to 6 if you did it online. This regulation was actually dropped during the pandemic, you know, during an emergency, wanting to be able to help members and customers out as best as they could. So that's something that we've seen across all financial institutions. But I think in general, looking for ways that you can help the members, whether it's by regulation or just because it's the right thing to do, we're all, you know, in this challenging time together. And so making things a little bit easier for everybody.
That was the one that I noticed, that the Reg D was dropped. I don't think my husband noticed that he could not pay the car payment. So he's been a good and faithful servant with that. But I think, I don't know if he would have done something differently or not. And to that point, I want to ask, you know, a lot of these deferred payment programs, they're, I guess, delaying the payment, but on the backside, you're having to pay in a lump sum, you know, bigger lump sum. Is that the case with that, with your program, in terms of the skip a payment? That's one question. And the other one is, well, let's just ask that one first, answer that one first.
I would say ultimately yes, because you do have the interest accruing. So we always recommend to the members, if you are able to pay it, then by all means do. We also don't charge any kind of prepayment penalty if it's easier for somebody to pay ahead of time. We want to make it as easy for our members as possible. We just want to offer that as an additional service so that if they are struggling at this time, that they're able to have a little bit of leeway if they know that their situation is going to be better or things are going to be better for their industry in the next few months.
So we're going to take a quick break. We are talking with members from Addition, Valerie and Courtney from Addition Financial, and talking about things, changes that you may have noticed that benefit you during this time of pandemic. This is Jeez Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dimp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We were talking earlier in the beginning of the show about fireworks safety. If you missed that, please make sure you check the link and listen to it later, and you can get your tips on how to stay safe from the National Safety Council. Also, we are talking about changes you may have observed with your banking institutions, and we're talking with Valerie Moses and Courtney Furiosi, who are with Addition Financial, my credit union. Love them. So I have to ask you, you mentioned about a deadline today, I guess, you know, July 1st, and I was wondering, are there any changes or extensions that are going to be made?
We still do offer, our Skip a Pay program. That is something that we still offer. There is a $15 fee for the application process, but that is still something we're offering. However, if members have other loans with us that they're unable to pay because of the circumstances of COVID or anything else going on our website, we have at additionfi.com/coronavirus, we have forms that people can fill out to request to delay their loan payment up to an additional 120 days for consumer loans, for credit cards, and up to 90 days for their mortgage and for their business loans. We still want to be able to help them out in any way we can. We're just, at this point, we aren't automatically deferring the loan payments, but they still are able to reach out to us or fill out the form online, and we can get the ball rolling on that.
Now, Courtney, I think you might be able to answer this question probably more so than Valerie. And this is about, and this has, I guess, been a concern of both my husband and I. When I told him I was talking to you all, he's like, ask them about the keypads on the ATMs. So we've been kind of curious about, the touching of the keypads on the ATMs and how they're being kept clean. And can you talk a little bit about that? I know that probably sounds minuscule, but I just wanted to find out, are there any particular type of precautions when dealing with the keypads or even dealing with the equipment for the drive-through teller machines and stuff like that?
No, that's nothing is too minuscule at this point. And like Val said, this is really an unprecedented event. So we've looked at each and every interaction that could have with any one of our systems, and we've tried to find ways to best sanitize and what schedules we need to install for each of our staff members to know when things need to be cleaned, what to clean them with, and also to make sure that our staff are safe while they're cleaning. And we rely heavily on the EPA and the CDC, and again, that team of credit unions that we put together to inform these decisions and to say what chemicals are best to use, how long they should be sitting on a surface in order to sanitize and disinfect and And then also what, you know, as soon as a new virus is discovered, there's a long period along with, you know, the vaccination process and finding a vaccination. There's a long period in understanding how it works and really what can kill it. And the CDC has been great and the EPA have been great at releasing information on what chemicals should be used and how they interact with surfaces and how they interact with the virus to inform these decisions that we're making. So each one of our systems has a special schedule that we have asked either our sanitation staff or our general staff to adhere to, and what chemicals they're using to make sure that our members are safe with each and every interaction. So those key pads are sanitized throughout the day to make sure that, you know, every member as they come up, they're really, you know, essentially touching a fresh key pad. Those canisters are in the drive-thru are sanitized after each and every interaction with a certain chemical that will kill the virus before it's received by the next member. And also, you know, throughout this process, we've had to get creative and try and find out new ways that we can either kill the virus or at least mitigate our members and our staff members' risk. So that's even looking at our HVAC systems and to see if we have, you know, a different MERV rating for air filters that we should be using, and to see if there's, you know, UV systems that we can use to disinfect the air as it comes through our systems, and also using PPE as we personal protective equipment as our members or as our staff members are interacting with one another or interacting with our systems. So there has been no aspect of the credit union experience that we haven't looked at, and we view each touch point and each interaction as a potential for someone to get sick, and we've made sure that we have done everything that we can possibly do to mitigate that risk wherever possible.
So what kind of feedback have you received from both the employees and the members, and have they been instrumental in the decisions that you've made and the changes that you've decided to make in how you operate the credit union?
Well, from a facility standpoint, And I'll be honest, I came to the credit union, actually to work for the credit union in April, so I probably came at the weirdest time to start a new job. But in my experience and in my background, this is I came from a property manager where we fully cleaned and managed the facilities for apartment complexes for students at the University of Central Florida. And So just in my background, I've been informed from a student perspective and from people who have to live in these environments. So there's a heavy focus on customer service and understanding that you are interacting with people who could be very scared in this environment. So there's a sensitivity to people's fear that we need to be aware of. And so we understand that throughout each of these interactions that we need to listen to what people are saying and listen and understand their potential for fear. And then also our staff members, who we view as our front line when it comes to sanitation and when it comes to interacting with members. So the feedback that we've been receiving from them, they've been, and I'm very glad for this, they've been very pleased with the sanitation procedures that we've asked them to uphold. We've been... One of the toughest parts of this entire pandemic is just access to the supply chain for personal protective equipment and sanitation. And we've done our best to try and streamline that process as much as possible. And our staff members have sometimes been almost overwhelmed with the amount of PPE that we've provided them with. And, you know, some of our staff members, we've actually given them face shields and masks to wear. And there's nothing more flattering than having a piece of plastic over your face while you're kind of wearing a diaper also on your mouth. So the feedback we've been getting has been, for the most part, positive, although they feel a little silly sometimes when we ask them to wear things. But our and Val can probably speak to the members, but we know that, you know, we have an internal communication system, and the feedback that I've been seeing through that is that the members have been responding really positively to at least the sanitation procedures that we've had out, and knowing that we're projecting this air of safety. And Val, I'll turn it over to you for the rest.
we've had, throughout this time, we've had a really strong focus on morale, both for our employees and for our members as well and for our community as a whole. And so something we noticed at the beginning of this pandemic is, you know, morale is low. People are scared. It's a stressful time and a lot of challenges we've never faced before. So very early on into the pandemic, we launched a weekly blog series. We made it available for really anybody that wants to read it, called On the Plus Side. And it was really just developed to keep people in good spirits. We share positive news stories, you know, great things that local businesses and people in the community are doing to make this time a little bit easier. We, of course, have to share adorable animal footage, fun things that you can do in quarantine, and free resources that are out there that all of our members can take advantage of, and just ways to stay healthier and entertained during what can feel like a very isolated time. So we update that series on the Plus Side every Monday, and people can subscribe to it or they can visit our social media, and we post the links every Monday. But we also have an internal component to that on the Plus Side emails that go out fairly regularly to our employees. And so this started out as a daily initiative. Now they go out to the employees about once a week. We'll share positive mantras, positive feedback we've gotten from the branches, from our members. We also have a survey that goes out regularly that our employees can fill out at any time to share a positive experience they've had, whether it's in their own life through the social distancing, or how they've had to change their perspective in this time, or just something fun that their branches are doing to stay healthy. We've had branches that are sharing that they're doing step challenges, you know, to keep themselves in shape during the pandemic. And others that have shared, you know, positive things that their members have said or done for them. And so we're really trying to be a positive light during this time when it can feel really, really dark. And so that's something else we really have strong focus on in this time.
So let me ask you this. What should people know or expect when they make an appointment to come to the credit union for services that they wouldn't just normally walk in and find? Also, I was curious, a lot of times, too, there's a lot of paperwork involved usually when, let's say, you have new members come in and apply, or let's say you are, especially I know when you're dealing with your IRAs and refinancing and financing, you know, all of the specialty stuff that, you know, other than the normal day-to-day transactions that usually requires a lot of paperwork and signatures. How are you managing that?
So a typical, would you like to go, Val?
No, you're good.
Okay. So a typical member interaction right now, if they come for an appointment at the branch, they'll arrive at the branch and they'll be greeted by the person with whom they have the appointment at the door, because we do have the doors locked in general, and we have signage posted explaining how to schedule an appointment, how to have your interaction online or over the phone if you would prefer, and also the services that are offered through the drive-thru, so that everybody who approaches understands why the doors are locked, but you know, the lights are on and we're still open. So you'll be greeted at the door by somebody who is wearing personal protective equipment. There's hand sanitizer that's available to members as they enter. You'll be brought directly into the office or directly to the appropriate area for your interaction. And then through a member who's wearing a face shield and a mask, and, you know, so there is a protective barrier in between. We've measured the distance between the chairs in our offices and the actual seats in our offices. And for the most part, wherever possible, there is at least a six-foot distance. And I actually can't think of any branches that we've measured where it was not a six-foot distance. So you're still able to distance yourself from the person with whom you're having this interaction. And, you know, a mask can be provided to you if you would like one, if you're not already wearing one. And then the interactions that you have, for the most part, a lot of our interactions interactions and a lot of our signatures and a lot of those documents you would normally have are already, you're already able to sign with an electronic signature pad on the desk, which is sanitized between each interaction anyway. So we've been able to cut out a lot of those parts of the process that would potential for spreading the virus. And Val, I'll let you speak if you have anything to add to that interaction.
I think you really covered it. We really do our best to, you know, really think of every possible touch point with the member experience to just make it as safe as possible for them and for our employees and to put everybody at ease.
Okay. We are going to take a quick break. We are talking with Valerie and Courtney of Addition Financial. We're trying to get a handle on what banking is like right now in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth, it's relaxing, it's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Don't forget that on Friday, we have Paul Z. Shelton from Warwickshire back on with us to talk about the economy. What else? So in the meantime, we're talking about our banking, and we have Valerie and Courtney from Addition Financial here in Central Florida. And I wanted to ask you, okay, if you had a crystal ball, so this isn't necessarily totally factual, but just based on what you're seeing now, in, let's say, 6 months to a year from now, how do you see banking occurring? What would you consider the new normal for customer interaction and also with employment in the banking system after, I guess, hopefully once this passed or we get a vaccine or whatever, where do you think we'll end up?
I need to say one thing, you know, with the future of banking in general, you know, a lot of people have talked about our branches going away and, you know, generally before the pandemic took place. And what does the future of banking look like in that sense? We believe that branches are always going to serve a value for the members. They just might look a little bit different, and it's kind of like what we're seeing right now. Right now, we're able to offer a lot of our products and we're able to offer a lot of our services in the drive-through or online or over the phone, and a lot of people are choosing to do so that way through technology. But what hasn't changed and what I think won't change is that people are still going to want to come into our branch to consult with a professional and have that advisory service, be able to ask them questions, and just have that trusted relationship that they have with their credit union. And we believe that's not going to change. Our CEO often talks about the future of banking, and he'll compare it to companies like Warby Parker and Bonobos, which actually both were completely online and now are adopting some brick-and-mortar locations. Those are not necessarily to sell the product, but to still consult with their customer base and really build those relationships. That's where we think the future is headed in general. And, of course, right now, I think with the pandemic and with being able to do a lot of the services in a drive-through rather than in a branch, you know, that's we could certainly see, I think, some of that moving forward. I think in the banking industry in general, as far as employment goes, I think that's still going to be important. Banking is a, you know, an essential industry, and people still need to be able to access their money. And so from a career perspective, I think that opportunities are definitely still there in six months to a year.
And to add to the employment consideration, for every loan that's submitted online or for every interaction that's had online, there's almost always a person on the other end who's reviewing that. So there's still a great need for the people of banking, even if, you know, that there is some change in the way we interact face-to-face. And then also this has given a much greater consideration to the availability of telecommuting. You know, our IT department has done, in my opinion, almost a miraculous job of allowing people to work from home, those who can to work from home, to beefing up our infrastructure to be able to support computers who are remoting into our systems, and also to kind of reroute the way we're doing business. And I think that'll allow us, if we need to move to more of a telecommuting culture. And we have, at least at our credit union, I know we have a great focus on culture. And we know that, you know, culture is driven by the people who are a part of the organization. So we've still relied heavily on phone meetings and video chats and different ways that we can still interact with one another. Because that really feeds everything that we do, is that interaction, that back and forth. But definitely it's given a greater consideration to the availability for telecommuting for employees who would benefit from it, or whose work would benefit from it.
And I can just imagine that the transition is not, I guess, that difficult, given that there's a lot of technology involved in the banking system anyway, to just transfer a lot of that skill and knowledge to, let's say, a home setting or just a different setting in general. It's probably not that difficult, as with, you know, some people who are now transitioning into using more technology than they've ever dreamed they'd have to use before.
Yeah, I know for me, it's opened up a lot of opportunities. You might not think that with a community engagement type role, and I certainly miss getting out into the schools and getting out to events and getting to see people face-to-face, but one thing we've been able to help out with during this time that has been a really cool experience and definitely a learning experience for me, as far as, you know, learning some of the technology goes, but Addition Financial does a lot of financial education, anywhere from the, you know, kindergarten all the way through the college level, and then for adult presentations as well. And during this time, we've found that a lot of our partners are still looking for that content to be able to share with their employees, with their students, faculty, staff. So I've done a lot of presentations through Zoom, through Google Hangouts, through Microsoft Teams, and after you get through the little hiccup of making sure you have the permissions to share the screen and everything, and you know, it's a little bit of a learning curve, but it's been a great opportunity for us to reach audiences we might not have reached before, or, you know, groups that may not have been able to attend the events in the past but are able to do so more conveniently from home. So adopting the technology has been a really great experience for, I think, many of the departments, just to be able to do their jobs a little bit differently and reach, you know, reach new people.
Yeah, and something Val's group has done a really phenomenal job with, Val's group and our IT department, is communicating the risk for fraud. And like I said, behind every interaction every transaction is usually a person who's reviewing that. And so we see the opportunity and we see the potential for fraud in our community. And so this transition to a lot of online focus has enabled us to be able to communicate the different ways that people can be defrauded in this time. And anytime you see an emergency occur, or, you know, anything like a pandemic or a hurricane, anything, you see new opportunities for fraud. And so Val's team has done a great job in communicating ways to avoid that and ways to overcome that and ways to protect yourself. So that's also been been a really great asset in this online focus is the availability of information that we can communicate to our members.
Yeah, you just really always, you know, unfortunately, you have to think of more of a downside in a situation like this where you're already struggling with, like you said, a hurricane or in this case a pandemic, which is already tough enough that someone is taking advantage and abusing the situation. So it's good to have that kind of vigilance. So now we got a few minutes left. If people want to get more information about what's going on with Addition Financial, how can they get information? Who do they contact? And what's your social media?
You can visit us at additionfi.com. And right at the top of the page, we have a link to our response page, which is additionfi.com/coronavirus. It has all the information about what we're offering in the branches versus by appointment, what we're able to do for our members to help them out during this time, and other frequently asked questions they may have. So we have a lot of really great coronavirus-specific information there. And then on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, we are at TheAdditionFI. We're also on LinkedIn as well at Addition Financial. So please check us out.
Thank you both so much, Valerie and Courtney. Really appreciate you being with us tonight, today. And, you know, be safe and be well, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you so much for having us, and take care and be safe.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, you too. Thanks. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Have a very blessed day, everyone. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care. Thank you.